there's danger everywhere. But danger had never looked quite like this before.
Can you keep a secret?
Based on shocking true events.
This girl, Rena Virk, she's been missing for 3 days.
Emmy Award nominee Riley Keough.
Young girls were the ones we were supposed to protect.
Academy Award nominee Lily Gladstone.
Can't be.
Not be protected from.
A Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome to Criminalia, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
The book of Revelation in the New Testament of the Christian Bible is interpreted in several ways. For some, it's an apocalyptic prophecy involving the second coming of Christ and the rapture of souls. And the imagery for that interpretation has been popular among artists over centuries, including the piece we're going to talk about in this episode, The Last Judgment. Aha! But some of you may be wondering, which one? That's right, there are a few Last Judgments, but only one has been stolen that we know of. So let's narrow that down. Welcome to Criminalia. I'm Maria Tremarchi.
And I'm Holly Fry. And actually, there are more Last Judgments than you might expect. In fact, we will begin with the first known work, and then we'll kind of make our way along the historical timeline. With so many out there, you may be wondering, has only one been stolen? We'll find out along the way for sure. First, we're going to jump back to the 12th century. There is a mural painted from red tempera on the west wall of the nave of the Church of St. Peter and Paul at Chaldon, Surrey. While it is not named The Last Judgment, it depicts various iconographic subjects from biblical stories of the end of the world. This piece contrasts the ideas of heaven and hell. Its upper half depicts the salvation of souls. Its lower half depicts demons and sinners awaiting judgment. The mural, while it's had the most time in history to be injured or stolen, never has been. It is no doubt a help that it is painted directly onto the wall. And that's the case with some of the others on this list as well.
A moneylender named Enrico Scrovegni commissioned a series of frescoes from Florentine painter Giotto, including a depiction of the biblical story of the Last Judgment for the Scrovegni Chapel in Padua, Italy. Giotto completed the work around 1306. In the center of the fresco is Christ, surrounded by angels. The apostles are depicted on either side of him, each on their own throne, and the cross, which is seen below Christ, is carried by two angels, dividing heaven from hell. Hell is depicted on the lower right with Satan shown as a large blue figure in the center, surrounded by tortured souls. And nope, this one too has been safe since its creation more than 700 years ago.
Commissioned by the Countess of Egremont in 1807, who was inspired by Michelangelo's Last Judgment, William Blake created a piece in ink and watercolor entitled A Vision of the Last Judgment. Within the notes of his piece, Blake wrote, quote, "Whenever any individual rejects error and embraces truth, a last judgment passes upon that individual." His vision of the last judgment has been safe for more than two centuries.
And then there's Philip the Good, Duke of Burgundy, who considered the artist Jan van Eyck, who was his court painter, unequal. Van Eyck's Crucifixion and Last Judgment diptych was created in 1426 and consists of two small painted panels. Historians believe some areas may have been finished by unidentified members of his workshop, which actually wouldn't have been uncommon at that time. The idea of the workshop, a type of apprenticeship, was at the heart of many industries in the Italian Renaissance, including carpentry, baking, cobbling, painting, on and on. Van Eyck was an innovator of what became known as the early Netherlandish style of painting. There is a common misconception out there that seems to date back to a 16th century artist named Vite of the Tuscan that Van Eyck invented oil painting, which that's just not true. It is, however, true that he achieved, or you may even be able to say perfected, new ways to develop oil mediums, to use glazes and oil resin varnishes, as well as drying oils. He's also credited with originating a style of painting that relied on realistic depictions of surface effects in natural light, all made possible with those new ways of building up oil paints in translucent layers. So though Van Eyck is known to have the most stolen art piece of all time, yes, of all time, it's not his Last Judgment that's among the thieves' most wanted piece of art.
That takes us to another early Netherlandish painter named Hieronymus Bosch. That was actually the pseudonym of Jeroen van Aken. Bosch is known for his dreamlike pieces, painted in oil on oak wood and containing fantastical illustrations of religious concepts and narratives. His version of the Last Judgment lies across three panels, and it takes us from the biblical story of the Garden of Eden to a Book of Revelation hellscape where the damned are punished. The Last Judgment triptych, created sometime around 1482, is part of the permanent collection of the Academy of Fine Arts in Vienna. While Bosch's works have gone missing in the past, including the rare piece Temptation of St. Anthony, stolen from the Chrysler Art Museum in Provincetown, Massachusetts in 1970, as well as The Conjurer, which was stolen from the Museum of Suburban Saint-Germain-en-Laye in 1978, there is no record of his Last Judgment ever having been stolen.
And then there was Luca Signorelli, an Italian Renaissance painter. His depiction of the Last Judgment can be found in the Chapel of San Brizio and features the biblical stories of bodies of the damned awaiting judgment. Signorelli completed more than one piece at that chapel, including this one, between 1499 and 1509. His Last Judgment fresco is widely considered the inspiration for the now famous image of fearful souls in another work called The Last Judgment. That one, created by Michelangelo and unveiled on October 31st, 1541.
Each of these works has focused on the Book of Revelation in the New Testament of the Christian Bible, telling the story of the second coming of Christ and God's eternal judgment of all humanity. And Michelangelo's painting is no different, though his work, a fresco, is grand in scale. It covers the entire altar wall of the Sistine Chapel in the Apostolic Palace in Vatican City. The Italian artist was primarily a sculptor and not a painter, but he created one of the most well-known Renaissance paintings. This painting depicts more than 300 souls surrounding a central figure, a depiction of Christ. There is, for those of you who like the hidden details, a self-portrait of Michelangelo sneaked into an unexpected place in this painting. The artist rendered himself as the flayed skin of Saint Bartholomew, who was one of the 12 apostles of Jesus according to Christian theology, and who was said to have been flayed alive. If you have ever seen this, it is quite a striking image. quite an interesting choice to use as your self-portrait. Renaissance painter and architect Giorgio Vasari's book, The Lives of the Most Excellent, was a series of artist biographies. Vasari was very prominent on the art scene at the time that Michelangelo was working. In it, he wrote about Michelangelo and specifically of The Last Judgment, quote, "He threw it open to view in the year of 1541, I believe on Christmas Day, to the marvel of all Rome, nay, of the whole world. And I, who was that year in Venice and went to Rome to see it, was struck dumb by its beauty." Michelangelo's contemporary Nino Cernini reported on this work to Cardinal Gonzaga, and in that report he wrote, quote, "It is of such beauty that Your Excellency can imagine that there is no lack of those who condemn it." But those who condemned it, and there were quite a few, did not steal it.
The creations of The Last Judgments didn't end with Michelangelo's masterpiece. Between 1851 and 1853, English romantic painter John Martin painted a Last Judgment triptych depicting the plains of heaven and the great day of his wrath. The Christian God is depicted sitting on a throne in heaven surrounded by four archangels, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel, and by the elders of the Revelation. Below them, on the left, you see those saved waiting to ascend to heaven. The damned are found on the right, tumbling down a bottomless pit. Martin was known to feature real-life people in his paintings, including this one. And notable persons among the saved, for instance, are Copernicus and Shakespeare. Again, though, this is a depiction of the Last Judgment that's been lucky enough to never have been nicked.
It keeps going, but we are coming to the end of the Last Judgment list. If you were in the market for a depiction of the Christian apocalypse, there were a lot to choose from, obviously. Russian artist Viktor Vaznetsov gave us an early 20th century depiction of the Last Judgment that was created for St. George's Cathedral in Gus-Kristalny and commissioned by U.S. Nachiev Maltsev, who, coincidentally, had also funded the building of the cathedral. That painting, completed in 1904, depicts Christ at the top of the piece, with the Virgin Mary on the left and John the Baptist on the right. Souls are seen waiting for salvation, and Satan can be seen taunting those destined for hell. Another Russian artist, and one of the pioneers of abstract modern art, Vasily Kandinsky, created his own Last Judgment. Kandinsky's features an irregular black shape at the center of the work, surrounded by colorful lines and dots, as well as shapes of various sizes, some open-ended and some closed. That piece is part of a series of paintings featuring biblical themes, including the resurrection, Jonah and the whale, and the great flood. And those were produced by Kandinsky between 1912 and 1913. None of the works in that series have been stolen.
And this leaves us with one more Last Judgment. This one is a triptych painted by Hans Memling, a piece he started in 1467 and completed in 1471. Out of so many, yes, this is the one. It is the one. This Last Judgment was stolen in the late 15th century, but not by sleight of hand or by skirting alarm systems or any sort of Hollywood-like stunt work. It was looted by pirates.
Oh, that's right. There were pirates. We are going to take a break for a word from our sponsor. And when we're back, we will talk about who Hans Memling was and how important he was to the early Netherlandish painting movement. Hey, everybody, it's Holly. Listen, I've been doing stuff on stage since I was a kid, which means that I have been doing my makeup since I was a kid. And I can turn out a look when I need to, but on my day-to-day, I really like to keep it a little more relaxed and low-key. I don't have time for a full face most of the time. But that also means that Thrive Cosmetics can have me covered no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm doing something on stage, like I have an appearance or a live show, or I'm just running to the grocery store. Something in their line is perfect. And what I really love and what's important to me is that they are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free. And to me, cruelty-free is very important in the cosmetics I use. I mentioned that I've been doing my makeup for a long time. I've gotten older in that time. And one of the things that I've done to refresh my look is switch over to their Brilliant Eye Brighteners and use something like a rose gold shade to really like go all around my eye and then just blend it out and get a daytime smoky look. It makes me look a little more youthful and more refreshed. And it's just easy as pie, and it means that I don't have to mess with a whole ton of products. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/criminalia. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/criminalia for 10% off your first order.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th, with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Lowe's knows home improvement. Lowe's, official sponsor for the 2024 NFL Draft.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Welcome back to Criminalia. We've described all the other works, so let's talk about what Memling's Last Judgment looks like.
Memling's Last Judgment triptych is one of the world's best preserved examples of early Netherlandish painting. Spanning a timeline of more than 500 years, the work has never been severely damaged, despite some pretty thrilling adventures it's been on. This is a well-traveled piece of art. This piece tells the story of the end of days as described in Christian theology in the Revelation of St. John. It depicts the biblical figures of Christ and the Archangel Michael during the final judgment story in the Christian Bible. Depicted as the judge, Christ appears on a rainbow with his feet resting on a golden orb, considered a symbol of the universe. He is surrounded by the apostles. Michael, in golden armor, is weighing souls of those who have risen from the dead. Above them are angels. Below are the Virgin Mary and John the Baptist. The right-hand panel features saved souls walking up to the gates of heaven. The left-hand side depicts the scene where the damned are cast down into eternal damnation.
So Memling himself. Memling was most likely born between 1435 and 1440 in Seligenstadt near Frankfurt in today's Germany, and probably spent his childhood in Mainz. We know he spent almost 30 years of his life as an artist working in Bruges, but we only have bits and pieces of information about the details of his life there. It's known that he became a citizen of Bruges in January of 1465. We know he married Anna Valkenaer sometime between 1470 and 1480, and that the couple had children, at least 3 sons. By 1480, Memling owned 3 homes and had become one of the wealthiest men in the city. He was much acclaimed as an artist in his own lifetime, something not every artist gets to enjoy. When recording his death in 1494, the notary of Bruges described Memling as, quote, the most skillful painter in the whole of Christendom. While there have been ups and downs among critics and art historians over the centuries about the validity of his works, he is now today considered a major Northern Renaissance artist.
One problem here? That triptych does not bear Memling's signature, and that has led to it being attributed to various Netherlandish painters throughout history, including Jan van Eyck, who we mentioned creating his own Last Judgment, but also Roger van der Weyden, who was Memling's mentor. Hugo van der Goes, Albert van Uvetter, and Michael Wolgemut have all been considered at various times. It was German art historian Gustav Hotto who, in 1843, saw Memling's distinct hand in The Last Judgment, though. In 1901 and 1902, German art historian and cultural theorist Abby Warburg added Hotto's thesis to his publications, and the Memling triptych has been an undisputed Memling work pretty much ever since.
Today, there are upwards of 80 paintings known as his, and the list is growing. Memling is known for his work in early Netherlandish art style, as well as Flemish art and the Gent-Bruges school. He was likely, at least at first, schooled in the art styles trending in Cologne before he traveled to Bruges. It's in Bruges where he trained in the workshop of internationally known Flemish painter Roger van der Weyden, probably between 1459 and 1464. Once in Bruges, he quickly began receiving commissions from its wealthy and influential residents, and this is where he settled. He began to specialize in small diptychs and triptychs for individual devotion, but it was Memling's portraits in particular that were popular, and especially popular in Italy. According to Paolo Natale, an art historian specializing in the Renaissance, Memling's distinctive style in his portraits came from his use of landscape backgrounds by, quote, a balanced counterpart between top and bottom, foreground and background, the head offset by the neutral expanse of sky, and the neutral area of the shoulders enlivened by the landscape detail beyond. His style influenced the work of numerous 15th century Italian painters and can be seen in pieces such as Raphael's Maddalena Doni. But it wasn't one of his portraits that was stolen.
So we're going to take a break for a word from our sponsors, and when we return, we will talk about who Angelo Tani was and why he probably never saw Memling's Last Judgment.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect.
Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome back to Criminalia. Let's talk about how conflict between England and the Hanseatic League led to the perhaps unintentional theft of Memling's triptych.
Angelo Tani, an ancient of the Medici Bank in Bruges, was the triptych's patron, and he commissioned it in 1465. In fact, when the triptych is closed, Tani and his wife are shown kneeling in prayer. We read about this piece that it was supposed to be hung in a chapel in Florence. But, and though not all reports suggested this, we did see that it was intended to hang as the altarpiece for a new private chapel in Fiesole in Tuscany, near the city of Florence, where the Badia Fiesolana is currently located.
Before April 25th, 1473, you'll find no mention, actually, of Memling's Last Judgment triptych. Nothing. On that day, it was loaded under Burgundian flag aboard the San Matteo, a galley bound from Bruges to Florence, Italy, via the English coast. 2 days later, the San Matteo, when the vessel entered English waters, well, that's when things went sideways here. The vessel was overtaken by a ship under the Hanseatic League, also known as the Hansa, which was at the time at war with England. So for more than 400 years, the Hanseatic League shaped Northern Europe, its economy, trade, its politics, and this continued well into the 17th century. At its peak, the network was an alliance of trading guilds that included more than 200 towns, mainly around the Baltic Sea and inland up to Cologne, Erfurt, and Krakow. The League extended far beyond this area, though, with trading posts running on routes from Portugal to Russia, Finland, to the Mediterranean. In Bruges, London, and Bergen, the long-distance traders founded large foreign trading posts. Smaller ones were established in many other cities on their routes. The long-distance merchants joined forces to boost business, of course, but also to better protect themselves against pirates. The conflict that catalyzed the events we're talking about was fought between England, specifically against the English merchant community's expansion, and the Hanseatic League, and lasted from roughly 1469 to 1474. It was during this Anglo-Hanseatic War when the Memling triptych was stolen at sea.
So the first recorded art heist in history involves something that we know a little bit about from one of our earlier seasons. Pirates. Paul Beneke was a Gdansk town council leader, and he was a pirate. Technically, he was a privateer because he got paid for his piracy gigs, but really, I think we all learned a few seasons ago that a pirate is a pirate is a pirate. He was commissioned by Lübeck, head of the Hanseatic League, to captain the ship Peter von Danzig. Danzig is the German name for the city of Gdansk, which throughout history has had periods of Polish, Prussian, and German rule. Today, it is one of the oldest cities in Poland.
As a result of the conflict between England and the Hanseatic League, Captain Beneke stalked, attacked, and boarded the Florence-bound ship transporting the Last Judgment. The painting never reached Italy. As this is generally accepted as the first documented instance of modern art theft, to some historians, that indicates Memling's paintings were beginning to be seen as worthy as gold, silver, maybe even precious stones, items of value you might find in a pirate's loot. When private collectors became interested in art, which was roughly the beginning of the 16th century, some paintings and works by certain artists became worth the steal because of the payoff. Others, though, consider Memling's work to have just been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
In the North Sea, Beneke commandeered the galley and sailed it and all of its cargo, including the Memling piece, as well as textiles, leather, furs, valuable alum, and more, back to Poland, specifically to the port city of Gdansk on the Baltic coast of Poland. There was, just to make note, one report that suggested that Beneke alternatively tugged the vessel to the port of Stad.
All of the stolen cargo fell into the possession of the pirates, or, I'm sorry, the privateers. At first, they gave their load to the local nobles, who then, in turn, gave everything to what is now St. Mary's Basilica in the center of the city. Angelo Tani, who commissioned the Last Judgment, not surprisingly objected to the seizure, and the issue was taken up in papal court. Beneke's looting was defended on the basis that the seizure had been a legitimate act of war, as the Hanseatic League had been at war with England at the time it was taken. So, case closed. The triptych was hung on one of the pillars of the Gdansk Chapel of St. George, where it stayed for more than 300 years.
Fast forward a little bit to the 16th century. Rudolf II, Holy Roman Emperor, admired Memling's work and wanted to buy the triptych for 40,000 thalers. Thalers, if you're not familiar, at the time were large silver coins minted in the states and territories of the Holy Roman Empire. But that offer, which was pretty generous, was turned down by the city of Gdansk. In 1716, Tsar Peter I was not as subtle as to request its purchase. He just demanded that Memling's Last Judgment be handed over as a token of gratitude for peace negotiations that had been favorable for the city. Gdansk city officials, though, once again, declined. It wasn't until 1807, when the French, led by Marshal Lefebvre, conquered Gdansk, that the painting was given a new home. Although no, it was not returned to its owner. The painting was shipped to the newly established Napoleon Museum in the Louvre in Paris. And it was there, actually, where it was erroneously considered to be the work of Jan van Eyck. It remained there for 8 years until it was sent to Berlin. It was returned to Gdansk in 1817 through diplomatic efforts by the city council and an intervention by the King of Prussia. It was placed once again in St. Mary's Basilica, where it stayed until the final days of the Second World War. It was hidden for its safety during the war, but was ultimately looted by the Red Army and taken to the Hermitage in Leningrad.
Post-World War II, Poland became the new rightful owner under new international treaties, and in 1956, the Last Judgment was, at least initially, hung in the National Museum in Warsaw. It was later moved to the Pomeranian Museum, which became the National Museum in Gdansk in 1972, and that's where you can still visit it today if you were interested. The Memling triptych, which we've learned should never have actually been in Gdansk to begin with, remains the only work of the Flemish artist in any collection in museums across all of Poland. And that is the story of the 102nd Last Judgment.
There's so many. It's time for Heist Hooch. And the thing that, of course, struck me about this entire story is just how much this guy moved around, which is a lot.
Yes.
That got me thinking about the idea of so many people claiming ownership over it and the one person who actually technically should have owned it never getting to.
Never saw it. Never even saw it.
He did not have the internet then. He could not look it up. I am calling this one Tawny's Lament.
I appreciate that he is being uplifted here because he really falls down in the story.
He is. And then there's a spirit I chose to represent him in a way, and you'll hear what it is in a moment, and you'll be like, predictable, but also, I hope, funny. One of the things that I wanted to do was build a drink that represented all of the countries where Memling's Last Judgment has lived.
Good luck getting a glass that big.
Well, listen. You got to be a little bit judicious so that you don't just get trash, right? Because that's a lot of stuff. First, I'm going to tell you what gets included to represent each thing, and then we'll do the actual measures of the drink. So since it was intended for either Florence or just outside of it, but it never made it there, Mr. Tani never got what he wanted. The bitter aperitif Campari is going to be in the mix.
This should be bitter.
I would be real bitter about this whole thing if I were
him. He's telling his wife, he's like, when they close it, it's the two of us.
So beautiful. Honey, it's going to be amazing.
It's bullshit. I've never seen it. You know?
So, yeah, it's Campari. Also, we did, if you remember a while back, I did a drink that was trying to make friends with the Negroni, which has Campari in it. So I have it on hand. Yep. I got to find more ways to use it. I think I have here. Poland has to be highly represented as well, obviously, because it's lived there for a long time. This one is a twofer, right? We're combining Poland and Russia because we're going to get some vodka in the mix. And I specifically suggest a spirit that appeared on our show at the very beginning, which is bison grass vodka.
You're going all the way back. Like origin story.
I still have a little bit in my bottle of Zubrowka, which is one of my favorite brands of vodka. We are not paid in any way for any of our stuff. I just legitimately love that vodka. And it's a Polish vodka, and it is delicious. So that, as I said, continues to be a fave. You don't have to have that specific kind of vodka. And if you don't have bison grass, that's fine. Just a good neutral vodka will work here. And then we don't want to keep adding spirits because this will get sloppy. So next I went to crops. So Belgium and Germany, fortunately, have a lot of crossover crops. So this drink is going to feature both apple and cherry flavors.
Hey, yeah.
I know it would have been obvious to do a beer cocktail because of Belgium, but I don't love those, frankly. But also, it stayed in France for a minute. So we're going to include some lemon juice. Now, citrus might not be what you think of when you think of European crops, but the south of France has actually become really well known for its lemon groves. Those are specifically called Menton lemons because of the region that they grow in, which have very productive trees. They produce like more per branch than other lemon trees. But for today, regular lemon juice. And you're also going to, in the mix of that, have some raspberry syrup. Raspberries also grow in Belgium and Germany. And here we go. So you're going to put 1 ounce of Campari, 1 ounce of your vodka, 1 ounce of lemon juice, and 1 ounce of raspberry syrup in your shaker. Next, you are adding to this 2 ounces of cherry water. Now, when I say that, what I mean is like there are various companies that do healthy waters that have a lot of flavor. You want one of those cherry versions of that. And because that's a water, we're not going to do ice in this shaker. We're going to, what's called dry shaking, which just means you're not putting ice in the tin. The ice in your tin is to help dilute your alcohols, but since that is a water item, you don't need to do that. You just want to shake it. I do suggest pre-chilling your glass so that you have an extra cold drink because the shaking also makes things cold. And if you don't have ice in there, you won't get the same level of chill. So put that glass in the fridge when you're first starting this. You want to put your ice in and then put it in the fridge? Great. You're going to shake it. You're going to strain it over fresh ice into that chilled glass, and then you're going to top it with another thing that's shown up on the show before, hard cider. This is yummy. I have officially made friends with Campari. It took me a minute, and I will say because that is a unique flavor that does have a lot, it is really the prevailing flavor if you're not careful. I had to do a lot of tweakies to get the proportions where I wanted them.
To become friends, we had to have a lot
to
of
To become friends, we had to know exactly how much of that friend I am willing to deal with. And that is 1 ounce plus 1 ounce of vodka. Now, a mocktail version of this is a little bit tricky, but it's doable. So your lemon juice, your raspberry syrup, your cherry water, those are all obviously easy. Keep them. In lieu of your hard cider, you're just going to do a not hard cider.
That makes sense. It's the best one.
Now, the tricky part, right, you can just skip the vodka. And here is what I would do in lieu of Campari. First of all, if you can brew an orange tea, I would use that. I would hard brew that thing. I would let it steep for a while. And even though you have already used that, I would also, this is a place where garnish can really help make up the gap between a cocktail and a mocktail. You want to get a little piece of orange peel. You want to make sure you rub the rim of your glass so that it gets those oils from the thing. You want the outside edge of the peel. If you do the inside, the white pithy part, it's really bitter and you don't want to put that to your mouth. So that's what I would do for the mocktail. And I would keep pretty much the same proportions for everything. You can tweak at that point. You may want to throttle back a little bit on the syrup so it doesn't get too sweet. Because in this case, that's like an ounce of syrup is because you are countering that ounce of very toothy and bitey Campari. If you love Campari, and some people do, then you're golden and you don't have to worry about any of this. That is Tani's lament. And as I've said before, because I often do these drinks in the mornings before we record, I don't usually drink the whole thing, but I didn't even mean to. And then I was like, oh, I'm down to rocks. I got nothing but ice left. What happened here? That was delicious. That was good. Say, keep all of these ingredients out for later.
Yes.
I will for sure make another. It's a beautiful red color, so it's...
I was about to ask when it's finished.
You know, yeah. That Campari is...
Right.
Packs a lot of pigment.
Yes, it
does. It's very red.
I imagine it's really not, like, it doesn't look diluted down in here at all because you're adding in cherry and raspberry.
Yeah, the raspberry syrup also adds red. And depending on what syrup you use, this gets a little in the weeds in terms of, like, color. But, like, Campari is a very orangey-looking red. The raspberry syrup I used was a very blue-based red, and so they ended up with a neutral, kind of pure, clean red, which was nice. Anyway, red.
Can make it to the red of your liking.
Right, Tani's lament. Because I'd be bitter if somebody took my painting. If I commissioned a painting and it got stolen by pirates, I'm not sure that I would not behave in a manner that is illegal and bad. I think I would hunt them down. Don't do that. Don't do bad things, but... It would be hard because I imagine it was not inexpensive and also seemed to be something that he was very much looking forward to. We hope that you look forward to the time you spend with us. We sure look forward to it. And thank you for spending this time hanging out with us, talking about art and heists and drinks. We will be right back here again next week with more of that on Criminalia. Criminalia is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, please visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Rocket Mortgage, official partner of the NFL Draft.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Time is money. The founders of Akalo Wearable Vitamins believe this so much, they quit their jobs to build a product that helps prevent jet lag and hangovers. Now you can get the most out of that vacation to Vegas or the day after you have a few too many mojitos when you actually have to go back to work. For a limited time, first-time buyers have the chance to try Akalo for 50% off. Go to akalo.co and enter code CRIME50 to get yours today. That's akalo.co, code CRIME50. Don't lose another moment to jet lag or hangovers.